Okay, we got some really good stuff, so let's get organized here. In the Book of Revelation, this is 26 October, and we are in dealing with the Church of Philadelphia, and so let's prepare ourselves, get ready for our study. Please be in prayer, continue to be in prayer, become prayer warriors in regard to place to meet. Remember this Sunday that you fall backward as far as the time, or you'll get to church so early you'll have time to go eat breakfast. And so one in the spring is bad because you just miss it. But if you get here early, you can just go get something to eat. And let's get ready and prepare ourselves. I'm not ashamed to tell you, there's some things in Revelation that very challenging as to what's going on and Jewish, Gentile church. Had a lot of fun kidding with Dan about it, and I told Dan what I told you. I told him I'm just I don't have any guts to teach what I think is really going on here in regard to this being churches and Jewish churches and this and assemblies during the tribulation. He likes to kid me about that. But let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can show us what's going on, because we've got some wonderful things going on here in dealing with the tribulation, the church being there, not being there. So let's pray. Pray now that your Spirit will take us into the text, open our eyes, examine our hearts. We have no platform. We don't try to study Scripture where it all fits the way we want it to. Our soul's desire is that your Spirit will teach us the truth. That will set us free. So, Father, we pray that Spirit will work tonight, fulfilling the very purpose that He has preserved the Scriptures for us up into this night, so that we can study them, understand them, see them, be edified and challenged by them. Thank you for this assembly, those that are here tonight, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Church of Philadelphia. And to the verse 7 of chapter 3, and to the assembly, or to the angel, the messenger, pastor of the church or the assembly in Philadelphia, write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts, no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power, meaning no power. They have no power. They're leaning on the power of the Spirit. Therefore, you kept my word. And we've learned now the word keeping is faith. I think we've well documented that. And word here is gospel, the truth of the gospel, and have not denied my name. Verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, they lie like their father Satan. Behold, I will make them to come, bow down at your feet, and to know that I have loved you. What a phenomenal phrase. God's going to let them know that He loves us. Now we come to our study in verse 10. Verse 10, we now have the response of love. Here's the response of love to their holding fast to His name, to all of us holding fast to His name. Because of their faith, Jesus Christ gives a promise to keep the church out of the hour of trial. Because you have kept, and we saw here, kept on believing, and therefore living, the Word And that here the word refers to doctrine or teaching, because it's a little different than my word. In the previous statement, we have my word. This is the word, the teaching of my perseverance. That's my return. So they have kept on believing that he is going to return. Now, our study tonight. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world. Okay, what does it mean? Here we get into the great battle of the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and that's how we ended last week. Just a brief look at what those three positions are. And here the battle hangs on an understanding of the Greek preposition out of. It looks like this. This is the preposition. That's E-K. And it's translated out from. The way you learn Greek prepositions your first year of Greek is everything is based on a big circle. And from that circle you understand, for an example, the Greek preposition dia means through. You have preposition in, en, that means into. And so our preposition ek is out from. And that's the way that it is shown and taught in an understanding of the preposition. I also, that is, I myself, will keep future of the same verb as before. And here it means to physically keep something or guard something. You, the church. And now we have this very important preposition. Out from, ek, out from. I, Jesus Christ, will keep you, the universal church, out from the hour, or a, here's hour, that's O-R, long A, or a, and that's the hour. Hour means, it's translated hour, and here we're going to have some fun. It's translated hour, but the word hour is used in Scripture. It can refer to a season. It can refer to a period of time. Not just 60 minutes, but a period of time. It has these kinds of meanings, this word hour. A season, an hour, a time. Depends on the context, how it's going to be translated. And then we have the of testing. Parosmos, we'll come back to it later. Parosmos means test, trial, temptation. There's, for those that do want to see what we're dealing with here, this is P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. And it refers to testing, trial, temptation. There is so much in what we just read. There's just so much here. Now, let's first of all note the exact wording. I also will keep you out from the hour of testing. God does not say that he will keep us in the sense of protecting us during the hour of tribulation. So, added to the problem of understanding the preposition ek is this out from. And he's going to keep us out from this hour, out from this whole period of time. I will keep you out of the very time of this testing. This is clearly stated to me for the eye that will see. I don't know how God could have made it any more clear than he did here. However, having said that, I always like to add this as a parenthesis. I don't say I can make it any clearer. I'm going to keep you out from it. But people, I don't see how you can make the gospel any clearer. And yet in the evangelical movement, we got people saying the gospel is lordship salvation, inviting Jesus into your heart. We've got the gospel so fouled up, and how clear can that be? I always am amused by this whole homosexual thing. Homosexuality is not a sin. What do you mean it's not a sin? I can show you unbelievable verses, Old and New Testament. It's abomination. It's a sin. It's all this stuff. And people that study the Bible, so I'm not There's no way that he could word this, that if somebody didn't want to take it another way, they could take it another way. And there's so many verses we've seen like that, that we just wish they had worded it a little differently, or more clear, exact, more exact. But even if they did, people wouldn't get it. So I'm at peace with that. I'm okay with that. They can't even understand the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know. Then okay. If you want to say you've got to do this, got to do that, then okay. He can't make it any clearer. But for those who want to see, it's very clear here. Now, what is the hour? We have seen how important that expression was in the life of Christ, didn't we? Remember, we saw this just in the Gospel of John as we speak right now this week. My hour has come. Why? Because of the seeking Greeks. We studied how we even looked, how throughout John, my hour's not come, my hour's not come, my hour's not come. And then some Greeks come seeking, my hour has come. So that expression becomes very important. But here we have another hour expression. And in that hour that we're talking about, that hour refers to a very short period of time, doesn't it? It refers to, if we kind of encumber all of the hour, if we want to be liberal with the idea, it involves the arrest, the trials, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. And this session, because it leads to glory, the hour of glorify thy Son in this hour. So it would include that whole period of time. So there the hour is in a short period of time. But if you get the idea, an hour means a season, and something's going to happen. And that's what the hour means. So what do we have going on here? Okay, the best thing to do for that, start looking with me at Revelation 17. Now, people, I used to teach with points, and just, well, we could go through points. I don't do that a whole lot. You let the Bible speak for itself. I want you to see things, and so that we can kind of move on through them. So if you will, look with me at chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 12. Chapter 17, verse 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Now, that doesn't mean 160-minute period. That's talking about period of the tribulation. So, the hour of testing refers to the entire gamut of the 7 years of the tribulation. Jesus Christ has promised He will keep the church out from the 7 years of tribulation. He will keep His bride out of that period. Okay, this brings us then back to a discussion, because I want to help you understanding. I could go through this, and I think every one of you probably are pre-trib, but I want you to know why we believe what we believe. Plus, I want to look at some of the things. Well, what do they say? Do they have anything that's even remotely sound that we need to look at? And so I want you to be knowledgeable in this discussion. And so let's take a look at. I also want to say that this whole battle, to me, is just so funny, because God gave us the whole concept of the rapture of the church for encouraging one another, edifying one another, and the church has just turned it into that which divides people. It's just amazing what we've done with something He gave us for gave us information of for edifying and encouraging. We've turned it into dividing and hurting one another. But this whole brings us to a discussion on the Greek preposition ek. Okay. Is this a promise of preservation while present during the period of the tribulation, or preservation by means of removal from the scene of suffering? That is our discussion. Now, last week we ended up very briefly. There are three views at issue. Here is the incarnation, God becomes man, the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world. And then we have a parenthesis. This is the church period of the church that you and I now live in. Now, the pre-trib believes that the church is called home, called the rapture, the taking up, and then immediately the tribulation starts. It's divided into 3.5 and 3.5, very neatly divided. And then Jesus Christ comes back, the battle of Armageddon, and then going into the millennium where he brings his bride with him, and that's you and I. And then we have the 1,000 years of the millennium, and then time just ends. The last great battle is right here. There is no battle here at the very end. There's no battle there. It's really all over. What happens at the end, God just says, that's it. And take Satan, kind of like you would a little puppy, and you take it up by the back of its neck, and there's no more battle. The last battle is the Battle of Armageddon. And then time is over, and then we go into eternity future at this point. Now, there is another view that says, here's the incarnation. They believe in that, the cross, that's they're fine there. And then here's the church, they're okay with that. And then what happens is the tribulation begins, and Jim, I got an answer for you. We'll come to that. Tribulation begins. How do they know when it does if it's not by the rapture of the church? Tribulation begins, and then you have 3.5 years, and then the church is raptured. That's why it's called mid-trib. Then the church is raptured. Now, what this is based upon is several things, but one thing is the second 3.5 years is the Great Tribulation. It is the maximum of the suffering and adversity and all the problems on earth are right here. And then return of Christ, then the millennium. Okay, there's a third view. This view is Christ has come, crucifixion, right there. And, I mean, you can have a Thanksgiving dinner with them. They believe in Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. And here is the church. And then the tribulation, all 7 years. And then the church is raptured at the very end, and then very quickly comes right back. And that's what they believe. So let's take our look at this word ek. So is this a promise of preservation while present during the period of the tribulation, which would be part of the mid-trib and all of the post-trib view? This would be theirs, that we are here and we are delivered through that period. Whereas what pre-trib say is this word ek means the church is taken out. Ek. Out from. And a lot of the arguments right here in this passage we're dealing with. There are other ones in Thessalonians, and that we'll look at them as we go along. But we're right here at this one, and so we're going to take it here. Now, word needs to be addressed in the apparent problem in dealing with where all of this comes from. We're not going to debate all of this stuff now, except as it fits into our passage. The post-trib, right down here, post-trib means the rapture or the taking of the church is at the end of the tribulation. The post-trib like to go to another passage to disprove the understanding of the pre-trib position of understanding Revelation 3:10, our passage. Which is a very bona fide thing to do, people. How many times do we go to other passages? We do it all the time. And this is very bona fide. And these are the kinds of things that do have to be dealt with. And that's why I'm going to take our time here, a few minutes tonight, and we'll look at this. Because there's only one passage that presents a problem as far as Revelation 3:10 is concerned. So it is always useful to go to other passages and get an understanding. That's how you build a category of doctrine or theology. You take a lot of doctrines or a lot of passages, and you come together. So that's what we're doing. It's very helpful. It can lead to clarification. It can lead to understanding. It can lead to correction. And it can lead to problems. So it can do all of these things. Now, there's one passage where we have the same phrase, this preposition ek, and the same phrase, and seems to say, not taken out of, but preserved through. So will you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Since there's only one passage we have to look at, we'll look at it. He wrote both of them. And the same Spirit led him to write them. So, gave him the wording. Okay. John 17:15. We have the same wording as in Revelation 3:10. And what they're going to do with 17:15 is apply to Revelation 3:10, then it would mean that Jesus Christ does not take the church out of the tribulation, but delivers them through the tribulation. Through the tribulation, and just delivers them safely through it, if we're going to take it the way they do. So let's look at John 17:15. Context. Jesus Christ is praying to God the Father concerning church age believers. That's our context. So we're comfortable with that. Now here's what Christ says in verse 15. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them out from evil. Translated, the evil one. Keep them out from evil. Okay, let's take a look and see what happens here, because this is a bona fide thing to do. In this verse, the preposition ek, or preposition out of, is used twice. And it's that second one that presents the seeming problem. The first one is no problem. I, Jesus Christ, do not ask thee, God the Father, to take them, reference to church age believers, out from the world. That is no problem. This is in keeping with our understanding of that Greek preposition, ek. Take them out from the world. I don't ask that you do that. It's that second phrase. What are we going to do with it? But, in contrast to taking them out of the world, to keep them out from, ek, preposition ek, out from evil, translated the evil one. The post-tribulationists contend that this teaches the use of ek. There is a use of ek that they can go to in the Bible, and that's what you do. The use of ek to mean through. To keep them through history, the workings of the evil one, yet they be protected from him. They be protected from him. Jesus denies a physical removal from the tribulation and affirms a spiritual protection from the evil one, is the way they want to bring this together. Now, the problem here is a correct understanding of the verse. That's the problem. We need to correctly understand what is going on with the verse. Okay. Sometimes we study concepts in Scripture that are so important. What I was doing was looking to see, because I thought of another passage a couple of days ago, and I wasn't at home, and I didn't know if I had it in my notes, and I was looking to see if we were going to have to go look for it, and it's here, so we're in good shape. Sometimes we study concepts in Scripture that are very important, so fundamental to understanding a great deal of passages like this one. And this is what I've been doing with you over a period of time. And this is why I do it, so that when we come to a passage like this, it'll be relatively easy for you to follow what's going on in the verse. Now, what am I talking about? For example, sometimes we talk about major things about the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. Sometimes, like I tell you, there are three major things. The being of the supreme being of God, a supernatural being classified as angels, and then a courtroom. It's all in a courtroom setting. And we've seen occasionally in studying how we have to go back and apply that. Okay, fundamental. If I taught a basics class, this would be one of the first lessons, people, that I would teach, even before the gospel. This would be one of the first lessons I would teach, is what things we've gone through. People, there are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms at play through the whole history of man. There is the kingdom of light, and there is the kingdom of darkness. So there are two kingdoms throughout history. The kingdom of darkness is Satan's kingdom. The kingdom of light is God's kingdom. So we have Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. The ruler of the kingdom of darkness, Satan. The ruler of the kingdom of light, God. The system of the kingdom of darkness, the system of the kingdom of darkness is man doing. Works. Performance. This is the system of the kingdom of darkness. The system of the kingdom of light, in one word, what would you say the system is? Or what's compatible with faith? Grace. The system is always grace for whatever. Because see, faith is compatible with the system. You gotta, what is the system? The system is grace. What's the only thing compatible with the system of grace? Faith. That's why it's not confession, repentance, sorrow, anything else. That's not befitting the system. You want to know the system you're functioning under. What kind of system are we in? Whether people realize it or not, most of the time even a home is built on a system. Whether it's performance or chaos, no system, whatever it may be. But you have some kind of a system. Honesty, just different things that are just instilled into the children. This is what's going to be done around here. And they'll tolerate a lot of stuff. There's just certain things won't be tolerated. And you begin to learn this as you grow up. There are just certain things you can do. And I like the way my mother reared us. It was like a big circle. And we had a lot of freedom as we got older and teenagers. But boy, we knew if we stepped outside that circle, it's Katie bar the door. And so what is the system in the kingdom of light? Always grace. Which the only thing we can do that's compatible with that is faith. Therefore, anytime anybody says, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit, to get a blessing from God, you can just say, no, that's not compatible with the system of God's kingdom of light. Kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, Satan, the system, performance. You perform, you do well. That's why such things as basic instinct is so important here. That's why Satan's lie is very important here. All those things that we studied. Part of the kingdom. Kingdom of darkness, man's works. Kingdom of light, grace. These are absolute kingdoms. Is that clear? They're absolute. They are invisible. They are invisible, yet real. We all start off in the kingdom of light. Excuse me, kingdom of darkness. We all come out of the mother's womb, beaten by the doctor, get that first breath. Well, not beaten, but at least a little more than a pat. Yeah, a little more than a pat, but pow! Ah! Okay, first breath. We are in the kingdom of darkness. We all start out as unbelievers in the kingdom of darkness. Two, this is important now for our passage. Once we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, what do we do to come out from the kingdom of darkness? Faith in Christ. Now, just in this discussion, what happens to you when you have faith in Jesus Christ over here and you're in this kingdom of darkness? What happens to you? Put in the kingdom of light. Now I'm just going to ask you a question before we go any further. Can you ever, as a state of being, can you ever go back into the kingdom of darkness and be in that part of that kingdom? No. You're out of it. So you're beginning to understand the passage and what Christ is going to pray here. You're taking, what are we doing? Do you see this? See this arrow? That's ek. You're taken out from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light, you will never experience being a member of the kingdom of darkness again. Ever. As long as we live on this earth, you can never be a part of the kingdom of darkness. You can act like it. You can act like it when you're in the flesh and you want to live by Satan's laws and rules and the Mosaic law, and you want to live by basic instincts, Satan's lie, performance and works. You want to confess to be filled with the Spirit. You want to do good to get a blessing from God. You want to earn something from God. You want to do from God. Hey, you're over here in that functional part. But as far as being a member of the kingdom of darkness, people, never. You, what are we talking about? We're talking about eternal what? Security. You're not going to lose it. You are taken out of the kingdom of light. Now, people, let me just stop and say something. I'm not teaching that tonight. Just because it's in this passage. I have taught that for years. The two kingdoms. It's so important that you, when I do those kinds of things, I hope you know, oh yeah, I know that, and tune me out. Because those are the things we've got to just keep getting down and understand and understand and function under. And when we come to things like we see, we're going to see how this is all going to work. You cannot be a member of the kingdom of darkness ever again. Ever. Now let's look at John 17:15. I do not ask the Heavenly Father to take them, the church, out of the world, this physical world, but to take them out from, keep them from, out from, keep them out from the evil. And it doesn't really matter here if it's, you want to translate it evil or evil one. It doesn't matter. We will never be in His kingdom of darkness again. We will never be members of that kingdom again or of His system of evil over here. What Jesus Christ is talking about is planted on us eternal security. People, let me tell you, if you haven't already, you're going to meet believers who truly are believers in Christ who do not believe in eternal security. They do not believe this. They believe they can go back and be in the kingdom of darkness again. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to do that when Christ has specifically asked the Father that He set this up where we have eternal security, we're taking out from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is talking about, is eternal security. Now, let's stay in the context. We just read John 17:15. Now, look at verse 16. They are not of the world. Now he tells you, he explains it. We're not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. If you're going to say that you can go back and be under the kingdom of darkness, you're saying Christ is. No, Christ isn't. And neither are you. You have to just realize you are an alien here. And we know what aliens are. We are aliens here. You can take at it from an alien, just another country, or aliens from outer space. Either way you want, whatever movie you want to go to, or political platform you want to go to. We are aliens. We do not belong here. And they do not like us here on earth. We are aliens. They're not supposed to like us. We're aliens. That's what we are. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. People, we are taken out of the world. That's what this phrase, verse 15, is about. We are taken out of the world. It is not a matter of being preserved or protected from. We are not even members of this kingdom, nor can we be. Look at verse 17. It, sanctify them. Okay, see that word sanctify? That's another word like ek. That's another strong word, just like the preposition ek. Ek, take out of. Sanctify, what do you do when you sanctify something? The church is sanctified. People, what you do is you sanctify. Let's say we're going to sanctify this cup for communion, and it's got to be a special cup, and It's going to be for our communion service. Okay, so we line them all up, and we've got all these cups up here. Here are three of them. And then we've got about 50 more back there on the table. But what we're going to do, we're going to take this one, and we're going to sanctify it. We're going to take it out from the group, and we're going to take it over here, and we're going to sanctify it. It is no longer part of that group. And that's what happened to you. That's what he did with us. He took us out from the world. And even though we may still look like that cup, or this cup may look like all the others, this cup is not like all the others now. This cup may look like all the others, and a person just walked in, say, that cup's just like the others, to you, no, that cup's not like all the others. That cup is sanctified. And that's what the word here, sanctify them in truth. Take them out and set them apart. Thy word is truth. What does this mean? Okay, what does the word mean in many contexts? Gospel. Sanctify them, take them out of the group, set them apart in the gospel. Isn't that how we're taken out and set and sanctified? By the gospel? You come to the gospel, the truth of the gospel, believe on Jesus Christ, and you are saved. You are, the moment that, you're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and you are sanctified. You may not look sanctified. You may not sound sanctified. You may not feel sanctified sometime. I don't. But you are. The prodigal son, I'm sure, did not feel sanctified down in the pigsty. But he is. No matter where he's sanctified, he is set apart. He is taken out of and can never be a member of it again. So I think verse 17 is given to clarify, to be sure we understand verse 16, that you're not carried through all of this. He's going to protect you. No, you're not even in it. There's no contest of you ever being in that kingdom again. So verse 18. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. People, we're not from here and we don't belong here. We are in this world, but for the eye that will see the invisible that's going on, we are taken out of Satan's kingdom of darkness, not physically, but spiritually. The real you. You are not from here. You and I do not belong here. And oh God, people, the more that we could get into that reality, the more stress, anxiety, and depression would shift into the shadows of our life. Because stress, anxiety, and depression are over things of the cosmic world. And you and I don't belong here. We are not here. I hope I don't overdo it, but it's just that old thing. When I was stationed in Germany, and I didn't belong there in that sense. So that I didn't have German clothes, I didn't have a car, I didn't have this, I did that, and I always had to wear the same kind of clothes, drabby green or dress green and this kind of deal and that kind of deal. Never bothered me that I didn't have what the German and other young people had. Never bothered me. I don't belong here. I'm here on assignment. That's what I'm here for. So I never had stress, anxiety, and depression. That I didn't have the things that the German single men out there had. Cars and jobs and clothes. They could even have bedspreads, designed bedspreads. I could even have that. Mine was issued. It was the same color every night, green. Okay. So, but I never got depressed about all that. Never got stressed out. Little paycheck, not much money at all. Never got stressed out about it. I'm on assignment. That's what you and I are. And that's what this verse means. We don't belong here. What Jesus Christ is requesting here is not preservation while physically present during the period of time of the church. He is requesting eternal security. He is requesting preservation by eternal security by means of a real spiritual removal. Ek, out from the scene of the kingdom of darkness. People, God does not preserve us from loss of salvation. That's another way to word this. God does not preserve us out from the loss of salvation. In other words, He does not preserve us from being taken into Satan's kingdom of darkness, which is, by the way, Satan's driving desire. God does not preserve us from this. He spiritually takes us out from the kingdom and places us in the kingdom of light. And in, only in the spiritual realm are you aware of that. And the more that we get involved in this kingdom, we get the idea that we do belong here. And we get all upset about it. I'll give you a case in point. Military guys over there, and all of a sudden, meets a German girl, marries her, moves off post, lives in the community. He starts getting very aggravated when the government wants him on post. Gets very aggravated when we have to go to the field, what they call the field maneuvers, for 3 or 4 months. He gets very aggravated. It's interfering. But it's because he's entered into that world, but he is not part of it. He's not part of it. And neither are you. And if you and I try to find our identity in this world, you're going to have all this SAD stuff. Stress, anxiety, depression. And it's going to conflict. You can't have two masters and you're just going to conflict. People, we're not of this world. He has taken us out of this world and put us into the kingdom of light. And we've studied that. I'm not forcing that into this point. We have studied the whole understanding of the two kingdoms. We are physically present on earth, but spiritually, this is not where we reside. You and I right now reside in the kingdom of light. Therefore, we should act it. We should live it. How do we live? How do we live as though we're in the kingdom of light? By faith. People, if I'm a kingdom of the darkness, I walk by sight. Performance, non-performance, Satan's lie, basic instinct, all of this stuff, get upset if I have, or if I don't have, get upset if I lose, all of this stuff, get all confused. The more that you and I get to that point where we actually realize I'm living in the kingdom of light, then the things of the world just don't, they don't bring the stress, anxiety, and depression. There are two more passages that I would like to look at in the use. Okay, well, I'm sorry I didn't make it clear. All that they did here, Jim, we are basing the pre-trib position from a preposition, ek, meaning out from. And so what they did, they found a passage that seems to say to them where ek means through. So they take this principle and they go apply it to another passage and they say they were protected through the trib. Yes, that's my point. But very few preachers preach the two kingdoms. And even from the, other people that are pre-trib, they stumble through this. Their argument's weak, in my opinion. Not in the John passage. Yeah. Then they go to the Revelation 3:10. Right. They just say this is the hour of tribulation, because we say it's a tribulation, and we're saying out means out from the tribulation, and they're saying yes, it does refer, the hour is a tribulation, but the preposition means through. No, this passage in John doesn't do anything, Jim, with any of that. The only thing that it does is it gives you a study where it appears that ek means through. If ek means through in John 17, then what I can legitimately do with the text, I can then say ek means through in Revelation 3, and yes, I can. If ek, I know it. That's what I'm saying. Yes. If I say that in the John 17 it means through, then I can say in the Revelation 3, here's John 17, ek is translated through. Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do. And so, and then by doing that, then they come over here and say in the Revelation 3:10, ek means through, and we're talking about the hour, the tribulation, which they agree, that's the hour of tribulation, so we're to preserve through it. And that's how they develop their position, all based on the preposition ek. So what I wanted to do with us, go back, so if somebody comes on that, you look at it and go, whoa, wait a minute, don't you have an understanding of what's going on? Because a lot of people, I'm sorry, pastors just don't teach much. And this is a tough one to understand these two kingdoms. But it's fundamental from beginning to end. Our status is not here. It's in the kingdom of light. Jim, does that help a little bit? Okay. I do want any questions. Please, I don't care if you see it. If you don't see it, tell me. Let's talk about it. There are two more passages I'd like to look at in the issue of John 17:15 to prove Revelation 3:10 is not talking about being taken through rapture, but out of it, and the John 17:15 issue. I think a proper understanding of the context of John 17:15 through 18 is decisive enough. But look with me, if you will, for a moment at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. Now, what we're going to look at now, Jim, this is good. What we're going to look at now is understanding correctly John 17:15, which a group of people say means we're preserved through living here on earth through he preserves us our salvation through the period of the church, and where we're not turned over to the evil one. Look how it reads before we leave it. Let's just go by and be sure you get the wording of the John 17, because that's important for what I want to show you. The wording of John 17:15, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them out from the evil one. Okay, bear that in mind. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If that's the prayer, and if we understand it the way the post-trib do, then God didn't honor Christ's request. Because look at chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 5. I, Paul, have decided to deliver such a one, this is the believer in Corinth that was causing the trouble, a zestrous believer, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the Lord Jesus. Now, people, he's turning him over to Satan. If we understand John 17:15, that's the request that we're not to go be turned over to the evil one, God didn't honor his word, did he? He did not honor Christ's request. So, does everybody see why I'm looking at the 1 Corinthians passage? Anybody not? So I can help us walk through this. Okay, so everybody sees why we turn to 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 5, I, Paul, have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Eternal security. This verse shows that the way the post-tribs want to interpret John 17:15 is incorrect. It is clear here that the believer can come under the power and influence of Satan. He can. But eternal security is intact. His eternal security is intact. They are already taken out of the world. You and I are already taken out. We're already saved. They are members, this man, all of us, are members of the kingdom of light. One more passage I'd like to look with you in understanding John 15:17. Look with me at Colossians 1, please. Colossians 1. Okay. I want to do this for you. Doesn't take us long. Want to even kind of go through this stuff with you. This is the kind of stuff you get in when you argue and debate. I've got a verse. You've got a verse. I've got a verse. All God's children got a verse. Here a verse. There a verse. Yeah, and you just, people, there are people who love, they really into this. Now, I'll confess to you, I used to. Many years ago, I loved to argue. Man, that was more fun arguing. And just take the verses and prove to you pre-trib and prove you're wrong and do this and do that. You'd never win anybody by all of that stuff. I'm not doing this so we can all go out and debate and argue. I'm doing this for your soul and my soul. I like to know, well, what does John 17 say? Is there a problem here? I want to know that. And I think you do. You love the text. Somebody come over and say, okay, I'm in peace now. I understand it. So let's look at Colossians 1:13. For he, this is a reference to God the Father, delivered us, church, from, that's your preposition, ek, out from, look what it says now, the domain of darkness. Bingo. That's what I've been teaching you. Kingdom of darkness. And transferred us. This is not in the future. This is right now. Salvation. And transferred us. Not future tense. Transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. People, I think Colossians 1:13 puts the discussion of John 17:15 to sleep. Does this one help you? Because this one to me is so beautiful. It just tells you what He's done. For He, God the Father, delivered us. He's answered. See, He's already done this. He's already delivered us. He's answered Jesus Christ's prayer request. Of John 17:15, Jesus Christ asked a prayer. Look what's happened. For He, God the Father, delivered us, the church, ek out from the domain of darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of evil. And transferred us into, that's your preposition, in the kingdom of His beloved Son. If I were doing this in seminary, in grammar, I'd have me two circles. He delivered us, ek, out from the kingdom of darkness or evil. And delivered us in the kingdom of light. That's the way I would do this, so it would be easy to see. Out of this kingdom, into this kingdom. And there's the cross. Okay. So this is what's happening. And transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. This is the kingdom of light. And people, here I have on the board the world. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. Kingdom of darkness, all unbelievers. Kingdom of light, all believers in all kinds of statuses. Sin, carnal, spiritually mature, walking in the Spirit, persevering, patience, all this stuff. Whatever you want to talk about, every believer is over here. And will never be over here again. Why? Because God has delivered you out. And anytime somebody says there's no such thing as eternal security, Colossians 1:13, boom. You're wrong. Why would you want to deny what God has done? He honored people. Here you have the most beautiful relationship between God the Father and His Son. The Son says, deliver them out. God the Father, okay, I'll deliver them out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of that evil, and into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His Son. When did He do this? When did God the Father transfer us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? The moment you put faith in Christ. That second. The second you believed in Jesus Christ, you were transformed out from the kingdom of darkness here on earth into the kingdom of light and can never go back. God is not preserving the church while present during the period of the church. He is not preserving us in that sense. He has preserved us by means, listen now, He is not preserving us through this period. He has preserved us already by removing us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what He's done. So the preposition remains intact. Any questions on the Colossians, the Corinthians, or the John? On this preposition. Okay. So this helps us to understand why we believe what we believe. This helps you understand John 17. You're already transferred out from the evil one. Out from the Satan's kingdom. And you cannot go into that kingdom again. You are not delivered through the church. Age. You and I are taken out. We're taken out. Let me just show you something in the Colossians passage before we go. I want to share with you something fun that Dan shared with me a couple of weeks ago when I was there and I was going over all of this with him. And he wanted to know what we were doing. Dan's learned not to ask me what are we doing. And But he asked me, and he shared with me something really, really sharp here in Colossians that I'll just share with you while we're here, while it's on our mind, so you can look at it. He's pointed out that Colossians 1, 3 through 8 is prayer preparation. He teaches what you and I have learned to understand, prayer preparation, prayer, and prayer pursuit. And prayer, the prayer preparation is verse 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. We give thanks to God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ. All of this is why he's going to pray. And the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, this is why he's going to pray, which you previously heard in the word of truth and the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing so in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ in our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit, spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. Verses 9 through 12 is the prayer. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, that's Holy Spirit, for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And Dan said, I'm sorry he didn't say amen, but that's the end of the prayer. He didn't say in Jesus' name, amen, but that's the end of the prayer. Now, what he pointed out is the whole rest of the book is prayer pursuit. The whole rest of the book is Paul, why he teaches what he does, so that the things that are asked in the prayer and talked about in the prayer can be fulfilled. It's really powerful. And he's having a lot of fun in Colossians. But he said that little ideal of prayer or pursuit or preparation and prayer just kind of opened up to how the book's laid out for him. And that was really, really beautiful. Okay, now, any questions on Revelation 3:10 out from reference to the church being taken out of the tribulation, clearing up the problem of John 17:15, and all of the things about all of the church and the tribulation? Any problem on how the post-tribs have taken it? Okay. Well, I'm really ready to go on now. We'll stop here then and pick it up here next Tuesday evening and just continue to be in prayer. Let's pray. Wow, what an awesome God you are. Forgive our human speech, Father, but sometimes we're just boggled by the unbelievable grace and love you have. We just find such great peace in your wisdom. You're not delivering us through anything. You've taken us out already. We don't need to give concern about what the world can do to us. We're already in the kingdom of light. We don't need to concern what man can do to us. We're already in the kingdom of your Son. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will take these things and in difficult times, and everyone who hears this lesson, difficult times in their life, that they find an inner peace, a confidence, knowing what we've studied. Not so that we can talk about pre-trib, post-trib, all this stuff, so that we can find comfort. Times are difficult financially, health, marriage, life, whatever. Not to get all SAD'd about this world, because we don't belong here. We're aliens. We've already been taken out of it. To live who and what we are in Christ. They're finding our joy and our happiness. they're finding the bond of unity with each other, not just husband and wife, but family, friends, church. What an awesome God you are. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.